Yep, it's that time. The Sonoma County Book Festival is a free public event that transforms downtown Santa Rosa into the literary capital of Northern California. Thousands of book lovers return every year for a full day of fun under the white, billowy, welcoming tents that adorn downtown Santa Rosa. With lots of events and activities, there's truly something for everyone. Hi, I'm Suzanne Lang, and it's a novel idea. Please stay with us for Rosemary Manchester and a room full of guests as we preview this year's Sonoma County Book Festival. Good evening, and welcome to A Novel Idea. And right now, I'm going to turn the broadcast over to your regular host of A Novel Idea, Rosemary Manchester. Rosemary?
Thank you so much, Suzanne. It's wonderful that it's book festival time again, always in September. This year, on September 22nd, to me, it's the liveliest weekend of the year on the courthouse square. The little white tents pop up like mushrooms, and the poets gather, and the children's program, and all the writers for young and old, and the readers, and the booksellers, and the book writers. It's just a splendid weekend. And I have friends here in the studio with me. Joan Frank is here, and Barbara Bear, and Barbara Quick. And you'll be hearing from each one of those. Doug Jane will be joining us. He has the program directly after this one, but he's going to be at the book festival, and that's a very special event that he has planned. So let's talk a bit about the festival and what people can expect to see and hear when they come. Now, Barbara Bear, you have been with the festival from the beginning. So we look to you as the one who knows the...
The oldest one.
No, not the oldest one by far, but the one who has so much of the history of the festival. If there's anything you want to mention about times past or what's to come.
I think what's become a wonderful part of it is the inclusion of young adult and the poetry slams for the young people. I think we didn't take that enough into consideration when we began. I mean, we did wing it. We went to a few festivals to find out what they were like and how mm-hmm. we could make them work. Mm-hmm. But I think it's grown mm-hmm. much more community mm-hmm. or inclusive mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. it was before.
Yes. Barbara Bear, of course, is the author of Grisha the Scrivener, a book which we did on Novel Idea about a year ago, and so many people remember that book and ask about it. In addition, she's also a publisher and a great supporter of the local writing community. You know, so many of those festivals are no longer active, and we're still going.
I think that for a while, I'm not positive now, but for a time when the San Francisco Book Festival ceased to exist,
yes,
the Sonoma County Book Festival was the only festival, certainly in Northern California. There was a smaller one at Mendocino College, mm-hmm. but I think we're the, and if there are more now, that's wonderful, but we are certainly the longest lasting
one. That's right.
And it must be because of this volunteer community mm-hmm. that keeps it going.
Mm-hmm. I think
as
so.
As it has. People like JJ yes. and mm-hmm. yourself, Rosemary,
right.
and
yeah.
others who've
yeah.
done so much.
Joan Frank has been working on the Authors Committee this year. Joan has a number of books that she's published. Her latest one, which I haven't even read yet, but I'm dying to read it, is Because You Have to, The Writing Life. And just before that, her novel was Make It Stay, which is one of my favorites.
Thanks,
so
Rosemary.
Tell us a bit about the Authors Committee and the what they have lined up for us.
Well, listening to you both gets me all excited all over again. The Authors Committee tends to be so close to the ground that it forgets to look up at the forest, and it's been working very hard to line up a number of exciting writers and exciting writers to act as moderators for other exciting writers in a real range of subjects and turfs. And there's everything, there's something for everyone here, and that's what the Authors Committee tries for every year.
I notice you have a lot of panels.
There
this
are
year.
Panels, yeah.
I
we
love
thought
panels.
That was a good way to get more voices into the mix, and also to address a wider variety of concerns instead of just having a straight bunch of readings, which are themselves good and delicious. This lets people mix it up in conversation with knowledgeable people more, and mm-hmm. Brings more interesting talent into the front. And so there are panels going on here this year. The first, I love the names that we came up with, if I may be that immodest. One is called Care and Feeding of the Book Club, and I happen to know that this county is larded with book clubs, really passionate, devoted members of book clubs. I know because sometimes they invite me to speak to them, and sometimes friends of mine just say, oh, I can't see you that night, my book club is meeting. So I'm hoping this will be a kind of delicious, bubbly stew for a lot of people.
And think of all the people who would like to be in a book club.
Absolutely.
Here's their opportunity to
Absolutely.
Come and find out how to do it and to hear about other book clubs.
Completely. It's moderated by my dearest friend, the author and teacher Ianthe Brodigan, who teaches at Santa Rosa Junior College and has a memoir out that was translated into many languages about her late dad, the poet and iconoclast Richard Brodigan. Another mm-hmm. panel we have going is called Got Manuscript, Now What? And I know, from experience at last year's book festival, when we ran a panel of editors advising writers with manuscripts in their hands what to do next, the place, it was La Rosa Tequileria, by the way, on 4th Street, which used to be the cantina, and that is also the venue of a lot of panels this year, so please take a look at the schedule when you come that day. That day, the Got Manuscript Now What equivalent last year was packed out, and people couldn't get their questions said fast enough. So we have high hopes for that one. It's moderated by Ellen Skagerberg, a longtime Copperfields employee and one of the most knowledgeable women about books in the county. Mm-hmm. She's also funny as can be, mm-hmm. and smart and fast and inventive. So that mm-hmm. ought to be yeah. theatrical.
I want to talk just a bit about the different venues,
please.
Because people may not be familiar with that. Over the years, it's been kind of a struggle to find venues. Of course, we always have the Forum Room in
right.
the Santa Rosa Main
right.
Library, which
right.
is just two blocks from the courthouse square, and people find their way up there pretty easily. But to find more space has it's been a trial over the years, and it seems to have really fallen into place thanks to some of the downtown merchants.
Yes, it's true. Mm-hmm. And also it simplifies things, I think, a bit this year in that most of the events are being held in one of three venues. One is the Forum Room in the library, which everybody knows, and it's a terrific place to read mm-hmm. or listen. It's big and capacious and comfortable and just a lovely wide open feeling there. The other is Corix on 4th Street, which has bravely and generously volunteered to offer its front area, which is conveniently raised on several steps so that there's a kind of stage feeling to it for panel discussions. And then finally, La Rosa Tequileria, which will handily double as a place to eat and drink when people mm-hmm. are done listening to whatever they love.
Yes, they serve an excellent lunch.
And they
yes,
make a great yes. margarita, may I just
yes,
add.
Yes, they do, right.
So, yeah, we're very happy about those venues. And then, of yes. course, there'll be tents and stages in the Courthouse Square area
yes, yes.
for young people, libraries, mm-hmm. Redwood writers, yes. The sitting room, and all kinds of private publishers and
and concerns that want to get seen on that, yes, that literary day.
Yes. Doug Jane has just come in, and Doug, it's great to have you here, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what you're planning to do at the Book Festival. Doug, of course, is the host of the program immediately after this one called Connections. I think of him as the music guy, and it sounds just amazing that you're bringing in a friend of yours, a photographer.
Well, to be honest with you, it's not exactly how it went down. I was asked by Susan Swartz if I would moderate a discussion with this fellow, Dan Deond, who has co-written this book called Satiristas with comedian Paul Provenza. So I have kind of reached this point in my life where when I get asked to do things, I usually say yes, because I figure if I say no, I won't get asked again. So anyway, I said yes to it, and I picked up the book at Copperfields, and it is so great. And what it is Dan Deond, who I've not actually met, I've talked with him on the phone. It turns out that he grew up in Kenwood. He went to Montgomery High. He used to shop in the Last Record Store, which is the shop that I own on Mendocino, and we used to be on 4th Street. He would come into town when he was a kid, and he would take music lessons at Stan Roy's and shop at the record store and buy comedy records. And he got into photography and has, jumping way ahead, has become the world's foremost photographer of comedians. And this book is just awesome. I mean, he just every page is filled with pictures that he's taken of these great comedians, and then Paul Provenza has done these interviews with him, and each one of the interviews leads into the next comedian.
Fantastic.
So there'll be Mike Nichols will be talking about something and about how he admires Stephen Colbert, and then we'll go into interview with Stephen Colbert. It's really, really great.
Wow.
So what I'm afraid of is that I'm not going to have enough time.
Well, we never have enough time. That's everyone, runs out of time.
I have so many questions for him. Right. It's a tremendous book, and just how, yes, he got into the field and how he, mm-hmm, met these people.
Yeah.
And pretty exciting.
Now, you're going to be hearing about all the panels and the speakers, and what I'm going to suggest to you right now is that you go to the website, SoCoBookFest.org, and look at the schedule, and you'll see that Doug's piece, Backstage Banter, is going to be at the Tequilaria at 2:30 to 3 p.m. And it's difficult decisions must be made, people. You're going to want to be at all three of these venues at once, and bring your roller skates. It's such a challenge to choose.
It is.
And when
I think
you,
I'll be choosing between Margarita and Tequila Sunrise at the end. I know where I'm going to be. So
those are hard choices, Doug. Tough choices. Yes. We thank you so much for making this opportunity to hear this this photographer. It sounds just amazing.
Well, what's really cool about it too is being in the music and the record business as long as I have. Before rock and roll took over the charts, in the music charts, comedy albums were huge. I mean,
yes,
like the first family, Von Meter and Bob Newhart and Bill Cosby.
Yes.
These things were huge. So
yes,
it's a big part of our culture as far as what our parents used to listen to, what we used to listen to when we were kids. And I'm just very excited about it.
Oh, yes. I lived in Africa for a while, and friends sent us a copy of The First Family. And we were the most popular people on the continent because everyone wanted to come listen to our phonograph record. You're right. Those days were just amazing.
So it's going to be really fun to hook up with this guy, Dan Deond, who really obviously been such a big fan of comedy and comedy albums and music as well. So I feel like we're like connected and we haven't even met.
Oh.
He did used to come in the store, and I waited on him, apparently. But
and I think he's listening tonight.
I believe he is.
Yes, I believe he is. Cool.
And our listeners think of you in connection with the store, with the record store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're so well known in the music business that it's a delight that we're going to have you at the book festival.
Well, so happy to be asked. And
right.
Looking forward to it.
If Don has sold the movie rights to this book, I'd love to see it as a film. It sounds like it would be absolutely great.
Would it be wonderful?
Yeah.
It would, definitely.
That's great. Maybe we could make that happen.
Perhaps. Dan?
Another panel that really took my eye, I think it comes right after yours, it's called Red, White, and Brew. another great title, Wine and Beer in Sonoma County. Now, isn't that great? You can go to the book festival, and it's such a variety of subjects this year.
It is. Ken Weaver is a real serious beer, I don't want to say aficionado because that's not a strong enough word. He's made a very serious study of beer in the manner that other people study wine and become serious gourmands of wine. He is a gourmand of beer. So I think it will not be lighthearted. He's very intense about his beer, and he doesn't want it dismissed as something jokey or trivial. Mm-hmm. I think he has a book out called The Northern California Craft Beer Guide, and he's raring to go. He's been raring to go since we invited him. Can I name some other panels?
Well, surely. Go ahead. And then we'll skip around a bit and come back to panels.
Okay,
go ahead.
Because
there's
so many that are just so daring and exciting.
Yes, tell
One
us.
Is called Naked at Our Age, and it's about sex with and for older people. And it's by a woman named Joan Price, who calls herself an advocate for ageless sexuality. Another is a husband and wife team that, strangely enough, remain married. They wrote a book together called, the wife wrote it. Her name is Elizabeth Weil. It's called No Cheating, No Dying. I Had a Good Marriage and Then I Tried to Make It Better. This began, I think, or was excerpted in the New York Times Magazine and kind of went wildly popular after that. She wrote it with her husband, Daniel Duane, who is a surfer, but also a cook. And he wrote his own book about cooking called How to Cook Like a Man, a memoir of cookbook obsession, of learning to cook as a way of coping with fatherhood. And he tacitly went along with his wife's decision to write a book about their marriage. They are going to talk together in the forum room at 1:30 in a panel discussion we've called Revelations and Recipes, Married with Stories. So that ought to be tasty. And I'll talk about more, but I want to give other people some time. So
and while all this is going on another one of the Three Ring Circus is the Children's Pavilion.
Oh, right.
And this year the it's called the Peanuts Pavilion.
Okay.
And this year the museum has been assisting in providing some of the programming.
Right.
And so there will be artists from the Charles Schulz Museum. So children are so welcome at the book festival.
That's absolutely
and there
true.
Is a rich program for them. That it goes until, I think, 2:00 in the afternoon, because that's just about all children can do. The rest of the festival goes on until 4:00. But the Children's Pavilion looks especially good this
year. You're right to mention it. Thanks, Rosemary.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And one of the things that took my eye, a panel on storytelling.
That's right. It's called Storytelling for Adults. That's at Corix at 2:30. And it was it's popular year after year after year. It takes care of itself. So if you're curious, I'd say just get yourselves over there to Corix at 2:30 and see if you can partake.
That's after the children go home. Evidently.
Probably.
Good point. Yes. A panel on women pushing boundaries. Voices from Iran and Pakistan.
Right.
That is a most unusual opportunity for us to hear from people from that area.
This is something we're very proud of. It stars, if you will, some intriguing names, women who've spent time, who've been in America but are born elsewhere or mostly reared elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They are Nafisa Haji.
I'm going to stop you right there because we just happen to have a reading from
Nafisa joined us in the studio not too long ago, and I thought we'd play a little bit of her conversation with
us to
segue into that.
So this is Nafisa Haji, who will be on the panel, Women Pushing Boundaries.
Post 9/11, a book became a bestseller that was an academic, at least in terms of popular culture, was definitely more obscure, The Clash of Civilizations. And right from the beginning, even the title and the image of the title was one I always had a problem with, because it sort of represented culture and civilizations as these solid things that can, bump up against each other on a freeway with catastrophic results. They're solid vehicles that can cause death when they collide. And my experience of life has always been intercultural. To me, culture is fluid, and it's always been fun to, in one lifetime, to watch how culture goes from one place to the next and back again. And the best metaphor for me is food. Since I've grown up, how much more ethnic food is available in the United States, but more than that, how much more ethnic food is available everywhere, multiplicities of it, and how the food changes when it migrates. I mean, we all know some of the examples of how, you know, some of the foods that we get in Chinese restaurants here are not available in China, apparently, but I bet you they are now because they got re-exported from here back home and back to China. Politically, you know, I study history, so the issue of the image of the melting pot of America was always something that people on the sort of progressive end of things didn't like, that analogy, because it implied assimilation and melting, and that means everybody has to melt into one, and there was an objection. And I remember a movement to sort of, you know, at least in terms of academia, to change the melting pot to the salad bowl, so everybody gets to keep their flavor and still mix. And that was a lovely thought, but it really, to me, now that I look back on it, it is a melting pot, and it's not just the United States, it's the entire world. So for good or for bad, we change each other when we encounter each other. Mostly for good, when given enough time. Recipes take time, some more than others, and sometimes we are quick to judge things before they're done cooking. So you have to wait till it's done. We're such impatient creatures, human beings. And as I get older, I look at things differently. And my impatience for certain things are good. I think we should be impatient for justice, and we should be impatient for better outcomes for the earth or what have you, especially because the earth is, you know, in terms of certain things, there are deadlines that we have to meet. But when you take the long view of things and look at it, you know, we talk about the slow food movement. We should think about the slow history movement. And I love traveling. And whenever I travel around Europe, and I'm a big fan of history, I can't get over the fact that really 60 some odd years ago, what kind of upheaval Europe was in, what kind of mass murder was taking place in Germany, the kind of horror that we can't even begin to really imagine, no matter how much you read about it. An entire group of people attempted extermination, in addition to horrific acts of war, bombings. I mean, it was really not that war. It was the First World War that started it, but the whole idea of modern warfare and being able to drop bombs from the air and annihilate peoples below. All of those horrors, and now you look around Europe and it's a lovely, peaceful, wonderful place to visit, and it's happened in one lifetime. So that gives me hope when I look at the parts of the world that I visit often, Pakistan, and I see similar kinds of upheaval, horrors, crimes against minorities, women treated in ways that no human being should even contemplate treating another human being. And I think that we have to work hard and be impatient in terms of our actions, but I also take heart in the fact that in 60 years it could look totally different.
That was Nafisa Haji, who is going to be appearing on the panel Women Pushing Boundaries, Voices from Iran and Pakistan.
Yes, and that will be in the Tequilaria at 1:45 in the afternoon. Joan, I want to congratulate you for putting together these marvelous authors. Oh. But to have a panel of women talking about Iran and Pakistan, I mean, that is most unusual.
And it is. It was, and I can't take credit. This was a group effort and spearheaded by others in my group. But I'm happy to pass that credit along to them.
Oh, yes. Congratulate them for us. Yeah.
Let me describe a little bit about the another member of that panel, Anita Amirizvani. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. She was born in Tehran, Iran, and raised in San Francisco. Her first novel, The Blood of Flowers, has appeared in more than 25 languages and was longlisted for the 2008 Orange Prize for Fiction. Her second novel, Equal of the Sun, was published by Scribner in June 2012. Tremors, new fiction by Iranian-American writers, an anthology co-edited by her and Persis Karim, will appear in spring 2013. She teaches at the California College of the Arts and at Sonoma State University. We're very proud to have Anita as well.
Mm. Yes, that will be quite a panel.
Right.
Yes. Before we go to the break, we have poetry at the music at the book festival too. Suzanne, you were going to talk a bit about the poets. Is this a good time?
Well, I can just mention that that poetry seems to be a big component of the book festival, and for those of you who have been before, it is always kind of an energetic piece of the festival right there in the square. And some of the local poets you're familiar with, Terry Arrett, Mike Tuggle, Bart Snyder, are going to be there. Of course, our own Catherine Hastings, among others. And that's happening right on the main poetry stage from 11 right through till 2:30. But also, as you alluded to in the conversation, that the book festival is opening up to a whole range of people of different ages, and this teen poetry slam is something that is a component that is really inviting in young people from the ages of 13 through 19. And so, and something unbeknownst to me is that poetry slamming is a kind of a big thing in our county at all sorts of quirky little venues. And so I think this is going to be a really dynamic event. It's a competition, and there is a first prize of $75, and you can find out more about that right at the web page, and also there's a Facebook page as well that you can get through the website of SoCoBookFest.org. So I just think it's fabulous that a whole spectrum of poetry events is going to be covered right at the book festival. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who have children from 13 to 19 who maybe quiet and reticent, but put them in front of the mic and they know what they're doing, this is a good event for them.
I have to tell you, I watched it last year, Suzanne, and it was fun. There were a mob of young people and they were really going for it. It was delightful to watch, and they were having a great time.
I just want to put a plug in too for all that goes on in the square with the vendors.
Right.
I've been a vendor with a booth,
yes,
every year, 13 years. Yes. And It's a very big deal for self-published people, for all kinds of literary groups, literacy, because there are very few places that you can get out there and be heard and seen. And there are people who've published this book, and now they get to bring it fresh off the press and talk to people. And that's a very community spirited thing.
Oh,
something,
yes,
like also where J.J. Wilson's sitting room booth,
oh, yes,
mm-hmm, has comfortable chairs, mm-hmm, usually little things to eat, and people can just take books and read books, and
yeah,
that's always a part of it. I think there's been well over 100 vendors.
Yes.
And so it's always fun to wander. People,
yes,
there's so many bookophiles, mm-hmm, who really love to wander among books.
That's,
yes,
true.
As well as magazine, mm-hmm, publishers, and so on.
There are, absolutely, booksellers selling new books, booksellers
and
selling used books.
And antiquarian booksellers,
yes,
usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Friends of the library bring,
yes,
a big load of books to sell.
That's always a big,
those
part
are very
of it,
reasonable prices. So there's something really for everyone.
And there's nothing like putting money in the hands of the author directly. And that's
right,
something that there's lots of opportunity to do right at the book festival.
And the author will sign your book.
That's true.
We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. We're going to be talking with Barbara Quick and Joan Frank about some of the other venues, including the venue for young adults, which is a very interesting topic. This is Rosemary Manchester. You're listening to A Novel Idea. It's our annual program all about the Sonoma County Book Festival, which will be taking place in Courthouse Square on Saturday, September 22nd. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
She's writing a novel. She's writing, she's weaving, conceiving a plot. It quickens, it thickens, you can't put it down now. It takes you, it shakes you, it makes you lose your thought. But you're caught in your own glory. You are believing your own stories, writing your own headlines, ignoring your own deadlines. But now you've got to write them all again. You think she's an open book, but you don't know which page to turn to, do you? You think she's
listening to A Novel Idea on KRCB FM Windsor, Santa Rosa. Just want to remind you, this is our Pledgetember. We're moving into our pledge season here, and there's some new rules, like a new phone number that you call. So I'm going to say it slowly. 1-800-882-6427. You call that and you could become a member of KRCB and let the station know that you support this kind of literary programming on your local public media station, KRCB. We're going to return to A Novel Idea in just a moment. You could always pledge online as well at krcb.org. There's a button. It says donate. So we hope you will. I'm Suzanne Lang. You're listening to A Novel Idea. We're doing our annual book festival show, and we're going to lead into talking about one of the panels by listening to our regular reviewer, Barbara Quick, who kind of does a nice kickoff piece for a panel at the book festival. So let's take a listen.
Must one have a penis to win the Pulitzer Prize in fiction? Given that 41 out of the last 58 winners have been men, I'd say not necessarily, but it will certainly increase your chances. Jeffrey Eugenides, who gained accolades and a movie sale for his first novel, The Virgin Suicides, was awarded the Pulitzer for his 2003 novel, Middlesex, which concerned the possession of a penis and was excerpted so intriguingly in The New Yorker. His 2011 novel, The Marriage Plot, has had a marketing push worthy of the Second Coming, including a much larger-than-life depiction of the author on a billboard above Times Square with a headline, Swoonworthy, hovering over him. The image has been described as a nerdy version of the Marlboro Man or Indiana Jones with a seriously receded hairline. Okay, I'm all for publishers shelling out money to support the sale of novels. A huge yes to that from me. But this is truly a 1% situation. The other 99% of novelists, in these lean and mean days of publishing, are expected to sink or swim solely through their own efforts and expenditure, blogging till they're blue in the face and underwriting their own book tours. Their publishers don't pay for ads, to say nothing of billboards. Jonathan Franzen has been given similar star treatment, including the cover of Time magazine, as has the late David Foster Wallace, who was part of the same friendly and competitive cohort of Midwestern novelists that includes Franzen and Eugenides. Wallace, who suffered from clinical depression as well as the usual professional insecurities, one-upped his up-and-coming friends by committing suicide in 2008 and thus assuring his place in the literary pantheon. Or perhaps not. In 1944, the critic Edmund Wilson wrote that the most striking thing about the generation of writers that included F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway was its failure to reach full development. The best writers of the 1920s, he wrote, were canonized too soon. Men of still maturing abilities, on the verge of more important things, have turned up suddenly in the role of old masters with the best of their achievement behind them. I suspect that Franzen and Eugenides would both cringe with recognition of the relevance of this assessment if applied to their own prematurely stellar careers. But I think what is happening with these writers reveals something profound about the literary world in 21st century America. We are wrestling with that old fear that the greatest artistic achievements of our civilization are behind us. It is too painful to think that there may never be another writer with the genius and humanity of Tolstoy. And so we hopefully and hysterically anoint new Tolstoy wannabes every 10 years or so. I believe that the writer's job is to do his or her best work and to leave it to posterity to judge whether the work will withstand the test of time. To quote Jonathan Franzen's speech at David Foster Wallace's memorial, it is the writer's job to give love, not just create from the part that wants to be loved. Which gets me back to the subject of penises and the Pulitzer Prize. The entertainment industry, which now includes the literary establishment, is in the business of trying to suss out what people long for. What we want, it would seem, is the literary equivalent of comfort food, as retro as Mad Men or the cover of The Marriage Plot, which harkens graphically back to a more confident and hopeful time for America. This is a particularly difficult time to be a writer or an artist of any kind, to feel comfortable taking risks, to write what comes from the deepest places inside us without reference to what we are told will sell. It's a really tricky thing for even the best, most talented writers to live in a society where literary worth is based on size. Of one's advance, the font used for one's name on the cover, the ad in the New York Times Book Review, and now the billboard above Times Square. Size, I guess, really does matter.
Barbara Quick.
Barbara Did Quick. I say that?
Dangerous woman.
I'm so embarrassed.
What a great lead-in to a panel on the gender rules of marketing, which is the subtitle for this panel called Chick Fic for Chick Fiction. And Joan Frank is going to be moderating that panel. So I'd love to hear some comments on what the panel will be discussing and the general topic of gender marketing
right.
of books.
First, I have to tell you, Barbara, that was just delightful. That was so thoughtful and so carefully expressed. I found myself hanging on every word and nodding in my heart at every single thing you said.
Oh, thank you, John. It's all true, truer than true.
And it's quite close to what this Chick Fic panel is supposed to be talking about. I don't know how many people in the county read the Times, the New York Times, but the very much admired and funny author Meg Wolitzer wrote an essay called The Second Shelf, and was about the fact that when women write fiction, it tends to be relegated to the Avis of literature, and the men are the Hertz, if everyone remembers that reference. The men are considered the serious artists, and the covers that tend to be designed for their books tend to imply that as well. Whereas women are put in another group that has to do with domesticity and interiority and relationships, and the covers on their books are usually a young girl in a gossamer dress facing the sea, or a boat floating outside a summer cabin. They're sort of gentle, comforting covers. And the men have gigantic typefaces that indicate, in Wallace's words, this book is an event, with a capital E. So I'm going to talk with two wonderful novelists about this very real and timely essay of Wallitzer's and all that it implies. I'm talking to Lucy Jane Bledsoe, a much admired novelist herself, most recently for The Big Bang Symphony, which won a pile of awards, and many other prizes and fellowships have been given her. She lives in the East Bay and is kindly coming over to talk. And Ceri Prince Halverson, who lives in Sebastopol and had her very first novel go stratospheric in a stroke. It's called The Underside of Joy. And it was her debut, published by Dutton, and is forthcoming in 18 languages, which is a bit of evidence of how well it's doing. Ceri wrote ad copy for many years while she wrote fiction, and this is her great getting up morning. And both women are delightful. I can't wait to talk with them. I hadn't thought about book covers that hard, but Barbara, your editorial or review made me remember that that's something we're going to focus on, as well as the whole phenomenon of relegating women's fiction to a kind of also-ran status. So it promises to be exciting. It's going to be, if I may, Forum Room at 12:30. So please come and bring your friends, and don't be afraid to ask questions. No question too weird or personal. I think I'm going to bring a book that shows a cover that I bitterly regret of my own.
Oh, dear.
It's everything that shouldn't have been done. And I approved it, so that was my bad. And we'll talk about everything related to that, and to the struggle of remaining a player in the industry, a serious player in the industry as a woman, as a contemporary woman writer of fiction.
Mm-hmm. I could talk for hours about this. I mean, it's a subject that really interests me. And as you were speaking, I was just thinking how interesting it is that for books written by women, there is often a picture of a woman or a girl on the cover. And it's as if the book is a mirror, and publishers think that if a woman looks at a book and sees herself, she will want to buy it.
And do they think that the girl in the gossamer dress is who they want to see?
Maybe, yeah.
Must be.
I think most of the buyers of novels are women.
That's
anyway.
True. Yeah.
So maybe if the book is written by a man, then they put a neutral type cover on.
Interesting.
And figure that it'll fly.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to bring copies of this essay and pass them out to anybody who's interested when I have the talk with Lucy and Ceri. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a lively panel.
It ought to be. Hope so.
And I want to talk about one more panel, and Barbara Quick, you have input in this as well. It's a panel on books for young adults. Maybe you saw the piece Joyce Carol Oates wrote in the Book Review of the Times, and she was asked, what's a young adult book? And she said, well, it's just a good book that anyone can read. And I thought that was a wonderful answer, but you've dealt with this in your book, The Golden Web, in placing it as a young adult book. And then your other book, Vivaldi's Virgins, is also very accessible to young adults. So what's your take on what is a young adult book?
Well, I'm with Joyce Carol. I think that a good book is a good book. Mm-hmm. And what designates a young adult book is simply that a young adult publisher or the young adult division of a publishing house has published it. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly the case for A Golden Web when it came out in 2010 from Harper Teen. And But I still wanted to make it a really good story, and that's what any novel should be. So we're hearing weird clicking noises in the studio.
Young adult books. Yeah.
Young adult books. We have. I just have been reading a couple of young adult books to sort of gear up for talking tonight about the young adult authors who are going to be featured at the book festival.
Yes.
And just read one today, which I was so impressed with. This is by Dana Reinhart, a youngish writer, although she is an adult, not a young adult, who is local now in San Francisco, and she's written, I read her first novel called A Brief Chapter in My Impossible Life, and I thought that it had everything that one wants from a good novel. I laughed, I cried, I really loved it, and I was shocked because a lot of young adult novels now are about zombies or dead people. So many are about really horrific things, too. And I was thinking about this today and wondering, well, what is it? I mean, is it sort of like fairy tales, but for the slightly older set? I mean, you know, Grimm's fairy tales and so forth are really about horrible things which are very frightening to children, and many of the young adults now are novels now are about the Walking Dead or weird paranormal things, zombies. And in a way it seemed less odd to me when I thought of it in the context of Grimm's fairy tales and what Bruno Bettelheim says about childhood and what children have to learn. So that made it make more sense. But this particular novel by Dana Reinhart was simply great fiction. I'm so excited about her new book, which is coming out, and it's called The Summer I Learned to Fly. I'm really looking forward to shaking her hand. She's a terrific writer.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting panel. The book festival is so rich this year. I'm so grateful to the Authors Committee. You've been working for months, I know.
I will tell them they have been working very, very hard
to put this together. Yeah. Is there anything that we... I know there are many things we haven't touched on.
There are a lot of mystery lovers out there in the county.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And we have a couple of yummy convocations for them. One is called Death Becomes Them, and this is... a discussion between the mystery writers Kara Black and Bart Schneider, who is also a poet and a novelist. Mm-hmm. Bart's got three hats on at this festival. And because Kara is half of her time in Paris, and Bart brings all kinds of sophistication to his work, this ought to be a really delicious discussion mm-hmm. about the writing of mysteries and open mm-hmm. to every question for people who love them. And I know from wherever I go that there is an unkillable demographic, no pun,
so to speak,
no pun, for mysteries. The other panel that might interest people is called Killing the Messenger. This is with Mary Fricker and Thomas Peel, and it's of a more political bent. I won't go into that now. These are all in La Rosa. Backstage banter, you can't miss that with Doug. Parents Behaving Badly is a novel by Scott Gummer. He was the author of nonfiction books and editor of commemorative books, including the San Francisco Giants official 2010 World Series championship keepsake. It ought to be lively.
That's interesting to hear that there are these other genres.
Very different stuff. Also, Gerald Haslam is coming to talk about his book, which is a biography of the eminent S.I. Hayakawa.
It's a wonderful book.
We all remember from running San Francisco State and the controversy he lived through. He is interviewed by Jonah Raskin. Mm-hmm. And Jonah has a long, illustrious history with Sonoma State, as does Gerald. They're both well-known and mm-hmm. Admired in the county. That mm-hmm. ought to be good. And for gardeners, we mm-hmm. have a discussion called Dishing the Dirt mm-hmm. with Meg McConaughey, who is moderating Nancy Bauer and Linda Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Hopkins wrote a book called Wisdom of the Radish, which sounds terrific to me. And Bauer is the author of California Wildlife Habitat Garden and Wildlife Landscaping for the San Francisco Bay Region. I know the county is filled with garden lovers and gardeners, so I know that ought to please a big pile of people.
You know, one of the things that I think is so fantastic about book festivals is that it gives an opportunity for people to actually meet writers.
Yes.
And I think that beneath this desire to meet writers is everyone actually wants to be a writer. Yes. Now, if you really are a writer, you sort of wonder why. But and yet, when I think about someone like Cara Black, who's really terrific, she's living in Paris half the time, and the mayor of Paris just gave her the key to the city.
Oh my goodness!
You know, so you know that's a good fantasy, and that it was fulfilled.
Oh
so there
goodness.
Is something kind of glamorous seeming about it, and I think when people actually meet writers, it empowers them if they have writing ambitions, because they see that writers are just people doing their work,
yes.
and you know, struggling, yes. but there's so much scope here in this county for people to mingle with writers mm-hmm. and to become a writer.
That's lovely.
Oh, to that subject, Joan's book, because I have the title.
Because You Have To.
Because You Have To is
yes.
about,
yes,
writing,
all about writing
and
mm-hmm.
not being able to not write no matter what comes of it. Yeah. And also the panel that I'm moderating with Catherine Brady Melina Watrous. Catherine Brady's book, Story Logic and the Craft of Fiction, it is not easy. I think it's kind of it's a real contrast to talking about how writing is dominated and it's good to earn millions of dollars and be seen walking across Times Square. Catherine Brady writes about writing the most extraordinarily demanding way. It will make you want to do much better.
Mm-hmm.
Not just do better because you get acclaim, but because mm-hmm. writing is mm-hmm. complex and fascinating, and mm-hmm. I know Joan's book.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought
that.
Them up. Oh. Thank you, Barbara, mm-hmm. because both Catherine Brady and Melina Watrous, who Barbara mm-hmm. will be talking mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. are very serious contemporary writers. I'm honored just to be in the room with them. Mm-hmm. Melina has a recent novel out called If You Follow Me. She's also a book critic, like me, for the San Francisco Chronicle. She teaches at Stanford, and I have endless respect for her. She was a Stegner Fellow, a Wallace Stegner Fellowship, which is a tremendously prestigious fellowship. And Catherine teaches at San Francisco State University. I believe she heads the department there, if I'm not... Oh, sorry, is it USF?
I beg your pardon. I think it's USF.
It's the University of San Francisco, and I think she may head the creative writing mm-hmm. department there.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a serious mm-hmm. contender as a writer and as a teacher. I'm mm-hmm. So much respect for both of these women. I'm trying to figure out mm-hmm. how to see them and everything else simultaneously.
That's going to be the challenge for everyone to choose. We're going to wind this up because we have wanted to talk about some other coming events. But Doug, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Other than
you
could hang out after a novel idea tonight
and at the end.
Listen to Doug all night tonight.
That's right.
No, except I do want to. I imagine this book is going to be available, The Satiristas, which is the book that was co-written by Dan Dion, who's the great photographer. And just the amount of comedians that are interviewed in this thing is amazing. Mike Nichols, Craig Ferguson, the people from Saturday Night Live, and it's really amazing. And none of the people that are interviewed have the same opinion about everything. You'll start to think that the different comedians think they have some kind of impact on the world through their political views. And one guy will think one way and someone else will think something totally different. It's just a mishmash of ideas and real genius talking in here. It's really great.
Doug, we're so glad you're doing this.
It's going to be fun. And I really encourage everyone to pick up this book, Satiristas, by Paul Provenza and Dan Dion.
Yes, and you can buy the book there and have it signed.
It's going to be awesome.
A nice plus.
I want to mention that this year's Sonoma County Book Festival is sponsored by the Sonoma County Bicycle Coalition.
Yes, the bicycles.
And conveniently located right in downtown Santa Rosa, you can ride your bike to the Book Festival, and they will have free bicycle valet service at the festival. And also, the Downtown Merchants Association is going to provide a lot of lively music on 4th Street, and there'll be a sidewalk sale throughout the festival. So it's just going to be a good day for readers and just strollers alike.
I can say, though, do not read while you're riding your bike. That would be...
Good point.
Safety first.
Absolutely.
An event tomorrow evening at the Quicksilver Mine Company in Forestville. It's called Poems, Stories, Humor, and Blood. Four wine country writers, Armando Garcia de Vila, Jonah Raskin, David Beckman, and Waits Taylor Jr. That's tomorrow night in Forestville at 7 o'clock at the Quicksilver Mine Company. And Suzanne, you're going to talk about the poetry walk.
I just want to mention the Petaluma Poetry Walk, which is another big literary event in Sonoma County. We're so fortunate in the county to have such great events happening this month, and it's the 17th annual Petaluma Poetry Walk, and it's this Saturday, September 16th. And I'm going to encourage you to go out to their website, which is petalumapoetrywalk.org, because there are just lots of venues at Viva Chocolate, Riverfront Art Gallery, the Apple Box, Copperfields, Phoenix Theater. All over Petaluma, there's going to be poetry venues all day with a whole range of poets. So, again, it's a wonderful opportunity to get out and about in the county and to patronize some businesses and to patronize our poets.
Mm-hmm. And also, if a slam is a little too aggressive, a walk is much nicer. Poetry walk.
We have something for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to maybe a poetry nap.
we'll work on that. Yeah.
Poetry margarita.
I want to mention the Copperfields Lectures at Community Church of Sebastopol. The series coming up is Initiating Change. On Thursday, October the 11th, Steve Johnson is going to be talking about future perfect. It's about political change. You can see this on the Copperfields website. Jacob Needleman will be speaking on Thursday, November the 1st. Those lectures are at 7 p.m. at the Community Church of Sebastopol, 1000 Gravenstein Highway North. We've given you a lot of information tonight. We can fill up your dance card. So go to the website, particularly for SoCo Book Fest, and feast on all the opportunities there for the things that you can take advantage of at the Sonoma County Book Festival in Courthouse Square on Saturday, September 22nd. It's free. This is Rosemary Manchester saying goodnight for Novel Idea. Thank you so much, my guests in the studio. Thank you, Suzanne. And I believe we're just about out of minutes.
Support for A Novel Idea on KRCB comes from members and from Copperfields Books, presenting High Tea with Tatiana Soli, author of The Forgetting Tree. This high tea will be held at Jacqueline's High Tea in Petaluma, Saturday, September 15th at 6 p.m. Seating is limited. More information at copperfieldsbooks.com. And again, this is our Pledge-tember, and we are hoping you will pledge your membership to KRCB. You can do that online at krcb.org/donate, or you can call a new number, 1-800-882-6427, and support your local public radio. It's KRCB-FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa.